Hi, this is Dan Gilbazan, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Rockin' and rolling with Savage Ravage.
Mike?
Yes? Hello?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Well, I'm here to talk about the power of rock.
Yeah, the power that compels us, right? So
yeah, there you go. The power of rock compels you.
Yes, that's right. So this is a crossover between the Mike Seibert Radio Podcast and, of course, Geekcast Radio. I'm, of course, Steve Jew and Mike. He is Mike Seibert of the MSRP, and we are here tonight to talk about Ravage from
Ravage!
The Cybertronic Spree. That's right. Oh, that old line from Blaster. I guess we're rocking and rolling with Savage Ravage. That was from... I think it was from, I know, obviously, it's Generation, I want to say it's like one of the first five episodes. I think it's actually probably More Than Meets the Eye when they capture him.
That sounds about right.
I think. I don't know, 40 years, who the hell remembers these things? So Mike and I contributed to the Cybertronic Spree Kickstarter, oh God, what was that, 2 years ago, a year ago? I don't even remember now.
It's been at least a year. In fact, yeah. We've had this album so long, I had to revisit it to really kind of get back into it, because like I don't know how much we want to talk about kind of the history of Cybertronic Spree and why.
Well, for those that don't know, we should probably break it down a little bit.
Sure.
So I knew them basically because they were the Transformers rock band. I don't want to say cover band. I mean, they do covers, but they, how would you describe them?
Well, basically it is kind of difficult to describe. One, they're at their core, they're a rock band, and musically they do rock music in the style of the Transformers, the movie soundtrack, and other 80s nostalgia properties. So, you know, at their shows and on their videos, they do a lot of covers of old classic TV theme songs aside from the Transformers stuff. But at the end of it, they are the robots in disguise. You know, you got Rumble and a Quintesson and RC and Soundwave and even the Chaos Bringer himself, Unicron, along with Bumblebee, Hot Rod, and Shockwave. So they are a very large band of robots in disguise. And what I think they're most known for, certainly in Transformers fandom, but I think even outside of that, because they have had some crossover breakthroughs as well, like their cover of Barracuda by Heart, as well as Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin. Both of those videos went pretty viral. In fact, you know something has gone viral outside of your own fandom when people outside of the fandom, like friends and family and things like that, send them to you. Like I had like my uncle send me the Immigrant song. It's like, oh, you're into Transformers, you should like this. And I'm like, yes, I'm.
I saw it in concert.
I'm very much aware. Yeah, exactly. My history with the Spree goes a little further back, in that, you know, I was immediately taken with them, one with their aesthetic and their vibe, and the fact that their primary focus of content was covering the songs of the Transformers, the movie, right, soundtrack. And so obviously Transformers, the movie, means a whole lot to me, and a large component of why that movie is so special to me is because of the soundtrack. So you have this delightfully Canadian band of robots from Cyber Toronto doing just killer cover versions of these songs. Of course, I'm going to take notice of it. but this was around, I want to say either 2015 or 2016. I don't remember which off the top of my head, but yeah, it was like 6 years ago, and Cybertronic Spree put out their first original song. It was a song called Cybertronic Warrior, and they had a music video to go with it. And at the time, I was a college DJ on radio station KGRG out of Green River College in Auburn, Washington. And so we played Today's Rock. It was a brand new song. So it's the rock of today. It's Today's Rock. I reached out to them via social media and asked them for a interview. I had played the song on my show a number of times, and I thought it would be fun to interview the Cybertronic Spree. And I don't know how much of the myth and legend of the Spree we're going to be able to maintain during this conversation, but not gimmick. I don't want to say gimmick because that's diminutive, but the conceit with the Cybertronic Spree is they are the Transformers. They are the characters that they appear to be, and their manager, a really cool cat named Sean, let me know about that. He's like, just so you know, when you talk to these robots on the phone, they are who they perform as.
Yeah.
And I've talked about this on my show before on Mike Seibert Radio, but like, it is one of the most difficult interviews I ever did, because it was a challenge for me to figure out how to talk to Hot Rod and RC and Rumble as the characters and not necessarily as musicians performing as those characters. Mm-hmm. So I kind of ran into some stumbling blocks, and then also kind of being part of Transformers fandom, I'm just like, where do they fit into continuity? What continuity do they belong to? Because part of it is that that Transformers the movie from 1986 is a documentary of their lives, basically. That's the other conceit. Yeah. When you participate with the Spree. So it was a little bit of a challenge, but it was a whole lot of fun. I really enjoyed Rumble talking about how it gets crowded living in Soundwave's tape mode, cassette recorder mode, and things like that. And you know how Hot Rod just, you know, he had to get rid of the Matrix, give it back to Optimus so he could live that hot rockin' lifestyle. And so it was a really fun conversation. So that's kind of the beginning of my history with Cybertronic Spree. But I watched their career with great interest. And then back in 2019, they were set out to go on their first major tour. Now, as I mentioned before, they hail from Cyber Toronto. So they would do shows like in the Chicago area and the Toronto area, but really nothing outside of kind of like the Northeast. So living in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle, not really something that was going to be on the radar, but then they announced that they were going to do a tour, the Party Till We Break tour for 2019. And if 2019 sounds like a great year to see a concert, you would think it would be, but then that led into 2020. And then we're just now getting over 3 years of 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and COVID really torpedoed the tour and their output. And I think finally the show that was meant to happen in Seattle in late 2019, I think it was supposed to be around Thanksgiving time, I ended up seeing like in like spring of 2021, and it was the first concert I had gone to since kind of like restrictions and lockdowns had lifted, to the point where, like, I mean, it was still in the point of COVID where we're still wearing masks inside concert venues, that kind of thing. And so that was kind of an interesting experience. But good God, what a terrific show. It was worth the wait. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to see them live, and it was in a small venue. So I'm basically like right up there, right up on stage next to them. And man, they just put on a hell of a show, lots of fun. And the thing also to keep in mind with Cybertronic Spree is that, yes, the costuming is awesome, but the musicmanship, the musicality, yeah, of, you know, they're playing, they are a terrific band and a really rocking band that puts on, again, an incredibly fun show while, and again, kind of breaking that fourth wall a little bit, while in these elaborate and heavy costumes. So they're playing as hard as heavy as any other rock band with all of this gear on. So it makes it that much more commendable what they do. So I've been ride or die for the Spree for quite a long time. They did a Kickstarter 2019, probably. Yeah, it was before the tour announcement, and basically they did a fully produced studio cover album of the Transformers the movie soundtrack. They called it Transformers 1986. Yep. And it's a phenomenal album. And the thing that's fun about covers is that it provides new context for your favorite songs. Like I went through a phase where I think, and I still kind of do in a sense. So Dare is my favorite song off of the Transformers, the movie soundtrack, the Stan Bush version. And I think I like the Cybertronic Spree version just a little better, because when you have the tandem duo of both Hot Rod and RC on lead vocals, they turn it into a duet of sorts. Yeah. Where there's kind of like a call and response going on to it that isn't there in the Stan Bush version. And I love that extra new flavor and texture that's added to a song that I've known and have been in love with for the last 35 years. So it's cool to have something new and fresh and different. But that was their first Kickstarter, and it was, I think, successful beyond their wildest imaginations. I remember the goal for it was incredibly low. And I think like on day one, they had already doubled whatever their funding goal was.
Yeah.
So that, I think it was at that point when they realized how voracious the fan base was. I remember being a little upset and a little disappointed, because I wanted to back at the highest level, and whatever the highest level was, there was only like, say, like 25 backers, and yep, that was gone in less than 10 minutes, and I missed out. And it's funny because like I have that, and one of those highest level backers has, you know, you get your name like in the liner notes, and every time I look at it, I see that my name is not in there, and I'm like, ah, darn it, I really missed out. But because I mean, I'm such a fan and I love supporting this band so much. So then they do the new Kickstarter, mm-hmm, for their album of all original songs. The album we're going to talk about, this is a long, long preamble for all of that just to get us here. But basically, it's a I remember when I talked to them 6 years ago and said, well, hey, man, Cybertronic Warrior is terrific, but would you guys ever consider doing more original stuff? And the answer was kind of boilerplate, like, oh, yeah, we're always working on stuff. You know, we would like to do something more original in the future, but, you know, we're kind of concentrating on doing shows and all of this other stuff, and we'll get back to it. Well, 6 years later, they drop the Kickstarter for a all-new original album, Ravage, and it's phenomenal. It's everything we were waiting for.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like you were saying about the cover, which I need to find a copy of the cover. I didn't back the original Transformers 86 album, so I need to find that. But yeah, it's one of those things where I've heard their covers of the songs before, and I like them enough, but I wasn't, like, super diehard. Like, I wasn't, like, following them around, or I wasn't following every move they made kind of thing. Mm-hmm. However, I took notice in the midst of the pandemic when they're like, when we were whatever, you know, when they're like, hey, by the way, guess what? All new original. I'm like, oh, okay. And I looked through, besides of my budget that I could afford to pledge to, I'm like, okay, I looked through all the tiers, and I'm like, okay, I can't do any of the high tiers. So I'm like, okay, I can do the $75 tier, obviously $15 shipping, et cetera, et cetera. So I ended up paying like $90 or so. Yeah. And my thing was, I wanted the CD and I wanted the USB because I wanted to have the files on my computer for Spotify or whatever kind of thing. I've got the CD. It's right here. I've got the patch. I've got all the stickers. The USB transforms into a Ravage, so it's, you know, it's kind of a cool little thing to have on a shelf. So that's awesome. And yeah, these songs, man, they rock. The 80s are not dead. They live on Cybertron.
Well, and I think that's a terrific way to describe it, because, you know, I was kind of struggling to describe their music style earlier, and it's basically 80s flavored power rock. Yep. You know, kind of hair metal arena rock type of thing, with, you know, huge guitars, huge synthesizers, everything is big and big bright production value, and it's and of course wailing vocals. One of the things that I like about this album, which is a little bit of a departure from their cover of Transformers 1986, is that they give RC way more to do. She's basically the lead singer at this point. And whereas in Transformers 1986, it's mostly Hot Rod with a lot of RC and backup. And of course, you know, she leads a lot of the more iconic songs like Instruments of Destruction and things like that. But this is more Ravage is certainly more of a playground for her to really cut loose. And she has just got a phenomenal rock singer voice, just an amazing singing voice.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So there's 11 tracks here.
Yeah.
And the only one I'll say this to get this out of the way, and it is what it is. The only one I wasn't too thrilled with was the last track, Mechanical Maelstrom, because it's just an instrumental. Now, I love instrumental music. I love all kinds of soundtrack scores and things like that, but it wasn't what I was expecting from them at all. Like, I wasn't just expecting instrumentals from them. But the other 10 tracks, I love them. They're great.
Yeah. And the thing that I think you and I talked about this previously, and I know I have mentioned this to all of my friends that are fans of the Spree as well. It's remarkably hard. I mean, it is a hard and heavy album. So yeah. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's metal, but in terms the type of the style of rock that it is on the harder spectrum, which I really like, because a lot of the songs off of Transformers 1986, like the, you know, Kick-Ax, Spectre General type of stuff, kind of leads into a darker, harder edge. So I liked that they really leaned hard into that aesthetic here, where again you got some like really dark synth and some really chunky guitars, and it's heavier than I think I was initially expecting from what original music from Cybertronic Spree would sound like, because, you know, like I had mentioned, like 6 years ago, they put out Cybertronic Warrior, and that song has a, it's lighter on its feet than a lot of the songs on Ravage. Now, I would say, though, that the thing that I like about the songs on Ravage is that even though with the exception of, I would say, well, I mean, there aren't any like explicit references to Transformers, but there's a lot of subtle references to Transformers.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously in the fourth song, Nothing Left to Lose, you know, they even drop the line, it's Ravage.
It's Ravage.
You know, the line, you know, obviously the title of the album, but also referring to the character. Logical Lover, the song right after that, which is surprisingly sultry.
It's sultry and it's slow. How do you go from Nothing Left to Lose to Logical Lover? And I was like, Shockwave would be unimpressed with this logic.
Yeah. But it's a sexy ballad, and yes, but it is very much about Shockwave. So I like that the references are there for us as fans, but it's not so as on the nose as, say, Transformers 1986, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And plus, you know, like we said, they are an 80s full-on rock, synth, whatever you want to call it, band, and they are from that. They are producing music that is specific to that time, the new wave, the this, the that, the whatevers, and it literally sounds like this could be an album that was released in August of 1986, right along with the other Transformers albums that were released for the movie, the actual soundtrack plus the score and whatever else. Well, the score... Yep. Technically wasn't released yet, but
right, not at that time. Yeah, know, it came later.
But I'm saying, like, I could see these 11 tracks being something on an album in 1986 because it sounds like, I'm like, okay, I'm going to the 80s this weekend. I'm just gonna sit here and listen to these, you know, listen to the Cybertronic Spree's Ravage, and it is so good. I think the one, and it is so weird. You talk about the Transformers references and track two, Don't Fear the Demon. I started singing along with this, and I'm like, don't fear the Reaper. Wait, the Reaper is the Blue Oyster Cult. Wait a minute. There's something wrong with, like, wait, but it's literally, if you listen to that, so if you listen to those a little bit, it's like, wait a minute, hold on here. That's not what that really is.
right.
But it's so fun.
It's a lot of fun. And what I like about this album is that it is at once wholly original, but also feels like a perfectly appropriate and a perfect sequel to the Transformers the Movie soundtrack. Like, if there was like Transformers the Movie 2, I feel like this is what the movie, the songs that would have gone with that fictional movie that I just made up.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, from like the vibe and the aesthetic, and it's it somehow finds a way to blend the influences of all of the music and all of the bands that are on that soundtrack. There's a lot of Vince DiCola in there. There's a lot of Stan Bush in there. There's a lot of Kickax/Spectre General in there. And it weaves and blends in a way to where if you listen to these two albums back to back, or even like you were saying, throw in the Score album, it all feels consistent. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel jarring, which, you know, I mean, again, makes for a very satisfying listen. I would also like to mention, I think folks saw me posting about this on social media. So I don't even remember what level of the Kickstarter, because like I'm going through my sack of stuff and I got like a pin and a pack of trading cards and a sticker sheet. These stickers are awesome, by the way.
Yeah, they are. They very much are.
What's so funny though is I backed both Kickstarters and I have both sticker sheets. I haven't done anything with them. They're just pristine on the sheet still. But it's got the Ravage patch, the CD that's autographed. Where I'm going with that is the thing that I'm most excited about, I got in my level of Kickstarter backing, was the I got Ravage on cassette. And I have a tape deck in my car. It's a 2005 Toyota Camry. I have no Bluetooth capability at all. I listen on my phone, like for like podcasts and streaming or whatever. I listen to that through a cassette adapter that I plug into my phone. That's how low tech I am. But anyway, I have a 6-disc CD changer and a cassette. So anytime, like I have a relatively decent collection of cassettes. So anytime like an independent band does like a run of tapes, I'll pick them up. But like I was listening to this on the way to work today, and there is something about the fuzz that goes with cassette that you don't get on CD. CD has like razor sharp clarity. You know, digital streaming has its own thing, but there's something special about listening to it on cassette. Yeah. That like I even posted, I was like, I feel like I'm listening to these songs the way that they were meant to be heard on cassette. So I just kind of wanted to shout that out as well. It's a fun listen.
Yeah, it absolutely is a fun listen. Now the interesting thing to me is that I'm trying to look through all the tiers because I have mine pulled up, so I know what I got, but because I got the CD and the USB. But the cassette, according to the page, is an addition. It was an optional add-on to whatever originally got. And I love how they say in all caps, cassette does not transform.
Well, and it's funny you mentioned that, because like I and it's probably one of those things that they did have to say, because you know, because you have your sticker sheet where it has the Ravage cassette.
Yep.
The actual cassette of Ravage has a tampoed version of that sticker image where
sticker on it, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not a sticker. It's part of the plastic. It must be some kind of tampograph or something, yep. But it's Ravage folded up into cassette mode, and it fits perfectly in this cassette. It's gorgeous. I mean, it is a lovely cassette, but anyway, to the untrained eye, if you know Ravage the Transformer, you could probably, you know, if you're a dummy, you could probably assume that perhaps it does transform. I don't know. But yeah, you gotta have that that public service announcement there. I do kind of wonder. I'm trying to find Kickstarter and see if I can log into it to kind of see where log in to see what I backed at, because I think it was the highest tier that I could without like the crazy ones, because like they had some, and again they learned for this second Kickstarter based on the success of the other one, where basically like they had more tiers, more options, and some more super premium items. But let me see. View pledge. Okay, here we go. I backed at the Shockwave tier with the Laserbeak special, which included let me see, you'll also receive a limited run of screen printed poster. Oh, that's right. They haven't even put out the poster yet. We will thank you in the liner notes. Plus we'll give you a signed photo. So I got a signed 8x10. You'll also receive limited run screen printed poster, which is still coming later this year. The Ravage USB key with bonus content, an iron on patch, signed copy of the album on CD, sticker sheet, digital file of the album, and our Spark Felt. Thanks. And then, like you said, I was I added on the cassette and the enamel pin. So I was out the door. I was $175 Canadian, which is probably like $30 US, but whatever. But and it's funny when you have like currency exchange rates, it's like, oh no, I could just go nuts because it's funny money. But like, yeah, when that hit, my wife was like, what is this?
What did you say it was in Canadian?
175.
Ooh, well, that according to this is like 133, I think, because, well, no, it would be more, wouldn't it? I don't know. I know I paid $75 Canadian plus $15 shipping and ended up being $90. Whatever it does, exchange rates, they suck. But yeah, no, it was just fun to be able to say, hey, I was a part of this. I, you know, backed this, and I don't back a lot of Kickstarter projects. I just like, I can,
yeah,
profile. And I think it's like, I've backed exactly 6, 2 failed and the rest were successful kind of thing. One of them I'm still waiting on. May the man rest in peace, but I'm still waiting on Legend of the White Dragon. I know they're working on it, so there's that. But but yeah, no, I really dug this, and I love all the, like you were saying, the sticker sheet. I've got the cassette and the Ravage logo sticker. I put stickers on my tower because I'm stupid, but it is what it is. I've got it on the side of my PC, so every time I sit down at my desk, I can look right at the sticker there and all the other stickers I have on it. And yeah, this sticker sheet is awesome. They've got multiple colors of their own Cybertronic Spree logo, and they've got multiple colors of the Ravage Kitty logo. There's a red one, a purple one, and a bunch of black ones, and there's a white one with black inserts. And yeah, it's very, very fun, very, very awesome. And like we were saying earlier, the music, it's an album you can always listen to.
Oh yeah. I mean, it rocks.
Yeah, if you like what they're doing, you know, if you like that type of music, then absolutely. It is something most definitely that you can always listen to, which is awesome.
Absolutely. Well, and I don't remember if you mentioned this up top, but the reason why we're doing this podcast now is, we've been living with this music for so long. It didn't even occur to me that we were the only ones that had it. Like, this hasn't been available to the public, you know, and it's been available to us for the last several months, but coming up on, guess it would be today or
Friday.
Whatever. Yeah, the 4th, August 4th, Ravage is being unleashed, being ejected, as it were. Ravage Eject. Operation rocking or something like that. I didn't really think that one all the way through. Rock music domination. But anyway, like, so it's being released to the public. So now folks are going to be able to experience for themselves what we've been jamming on for quite some time. So I'm really excited for this to get into more people's ears and for them to experience it, because I mean, again, they're a terrific band, and the music is just awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. It really, really is. The music is awesome. The band is awesome. I would love to be able to interview them, and I think I could pull off interviewing them in character. So, you know, that's more than fine. But yeah, folks, check out Ravage from the Cybertronic Spree. All new album, 11 original songs, available August 4th, 2023. And, you know, take a trip in the DeLorean and put your cassettes in there, because holy crap, we're going back to the 80s, folks.
Hopefully that DeLorean has a tape deck. And you know, before we get out of here, I don't remember if I asked, but we called out a number of songs, but which one is your favorite?
Oh, favorite. Man, now you're going to put me on the spot and make me pick. I will say that Don't Fear the Demon and probably Logical Lover are the two. Sure. I like Nothing Left to Lose as well. So that would be my top three out of the 11.
Gotcha. You know, mine is a far and away favorite, and everything else kind of lines up from there. I love Wheels of Fire. That is my favorite one, because it combines all of those elements I was talking about earlier. It has a, you know, it's like got a really heavy synth tone, and the vocal is there. And I'm a sucker for just like an 80s style catchy chorus, you know, where I'm just like singing along, just like Wheels of Fire, you know, that kind of thing. So it's got that type of texture that I like. But also, as I mentioned, that I listened on cassette. That's the last song of side one. So it feels like it's closing out that first half of the album, and really kind of sets the stage for the second half as it goes into Run for Your Life on the beginning of side two. But like it's experiencing that way that makes me appreciate it that much more. I also like Turbo Heart, the intro track. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm with you. Don't Fear the Demon's really good. Nothing Left to Lose is a lot of fun. And I have a lot of affection for a Logical Lover as well, because it's so unusual from some of the stuff that they've done. So I like that this album is obviously a lot of the same, but still very fresh and original and new, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And yeah, like they said in the promotional stuff, it's 11 new, completely new tracks. Yes, they put their influences are Transformers the movie. I mean, they are Transformers character. They are the robots. So of course, those inspirations are going to be there. But this isn't them trying to remix or redub or re whatever or cover. Like, look, they can do covers all day long, and it's great. They can cover Dare all they want. That's awesome. But that's what attracted me to this, was because I have heard them do Dare. I've heard them do Instruments of Destruction. I've heard them do all this stuff. And I was like, ooh, original songs. I wonder what that's going to sound like. I know it's going to sound like them. And yes, I do remember Cybertronic War Air, and I did really love that song as well at the time. But, like, literally, my Transformers fan antenna just started screaming, beeping at me as I'm, like, putting in my information to get this pledge in for the Kickstarter, because literally I think it had just over 2,100 backers. I was number 2,083.
Oh, nice.
So fairy tale, because I was like going back and forth. I'm like, oh, screw it, we'll just do it.
Where is that info, by the way? Because I'm kind of curious which number I am.
Should be, okay, let's see. Where would that be? Let's see.
I mean, I'm sure when, we can okay, edit this so
when
out.
You're,
but I'm
when you're on their page where it says marked as received on whatever, right under there, it should say view pledge. It should pull up your pledge, and if you scroll down to the bottom, like, it'll pull up your credit card information, the pledge, and then right under the date, estimated delivery October 2022, backer yep. number 2083.
Got it. So putting it in context with what you were talking about, you kind of hemmed and hawed, and mm-hmm. like, I, on the other hand, jumped on like immediately. In fact, I was waiting for the Kickstarter to go live because I didn't want to get left out in the cold again. And right. I'm flipping through the, I haven't shared a photo of this, but I'm flipping through the liner notes for the CD, and about halfway down, I see I'm in the liner notes, Mike Seibert Radio Podcast. So a little bit of vanity for myself there. But like, so even then, as voraciously as I wanted to support it, I'm still backer number 238. So 238 people got in there ahead of me. And I was there like as soon as it got live. So that tells you about nice. the support. And my my CD is hand numbered number 323 of 1129.
Oh man, I don't even know. I'm sitting here in the dark. I couldn't even tell you what my number is.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. But
oh, it's fine. I just happen to have it all in front of me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I love that the autographs, though, are on the inside covers. They are not on the outside cover where it may get smudged or something. But all the band autographs are all next to their characters on the inside of the cover, not just on the outside of the album, which is so cool.
I had a little bit of gold pen transfer on the back of my sticker sheet, but it's not bad. I mean, all the autographs are intact. It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really cool stuff. So I guess as we get ready to kind of move on, as we're just kind of like really actively pumping this band, I want to steer folks towards the YouTube channel for Cybertronics Free. You know, listening to the music is one thing, but you also need the visual for it. I can't wait till they start doing music videos for the songs off of Ravage. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, they've got their cover of Ballroom Blitz and obviously Barracuda and Immigrant Song and the you know, the Touch and a couple of my favorites. And these, it's so funny, the things that bring down the house in a live show. So I saw them live when they came to Seattle. They play Trouble Again, the theme from the Droids cartoon, the Star Wars Droids cartoon.
Yep.
A surprising banger, Run With Us, which is the theme to the Raccoons, which is a delightful Canadian Saturday cartoon. Morning cartoon.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So, I mean, when I watch those videos, I think of the memories of seeing them play those songs live, and they're just absolute bangers. And it's so funny to have a room full of people just like cheering for these children's cartoons theme songs. It's so funny.
That's awesome.
But yeah. So one last story, just because I was thinking about the YouTubes here. And one of the coolest experiences that I had with tangentially with the Cybertronics Spree. I didn't actually participate in this myself personally, but I was part of the organization team for Iacon Online, which was a virtual convention that we basically created during the pandemic. And one of the ideas that folks had had was like, well, we should do something with Cybertronics Spree. And I was like, you know, I kind of felt like Mad Max in The Road Warrior for a second. It's like, oh, you want to know where that oil tanker is? Come to me. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, I'm like, you know, I had their manager's contact info and I was still in touch with members of the band. So I was able to facilitate that meeting. But what felt very rewarding to me is that I got to set up something that I wasn't a part of that was so exciting for everybody else. Like everybody was just hopping up and down. Like they played a couple game shows. They did like a Wheel of Iacon, which was like a Wheel of Fortune style show. And there was also like Cybertronic name game. And there were a lot of memeable moments. Like if you've ever heard the phrase mental scorponok, that's where that came from. And it kind of became like a meme with the band. So it was satisfying for me to make those connections for my fellow convention organizers and the band and for them to have so much fun. In fact, I when I went to that concert in Seattle, I was wearing my Iacon Online shirt. And it's so funny, you know, I'm going to be 45 years old in September. And I felt like a squealing fangirl, like I was watching the Beatles when, like, you know, Hot Rod from upstage points at my shirt and does a thumbs up.
Yeah.
It was just like, I mean, it's like they even through all of the elaborate aspects of their costume, they were still able to like see and acknowledge me. And I thought that was just an incredible experience. They are really cool bots, just really cool folks.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, their costumes, I mean, RC and Hot Rod specifically, of course they can. I mean, it's just color. They just have like visors over their eyes as far as like the Hot Rod and the RC. So, but the rest of them, like, I don't know how Shockwave sees anything. I don't know how. You know, because yeah, good old one eye. But yes, absolutely. This Friday, August 4th, 2023, Ravage will be unleashed to the world from the Cybertronic Spree. Also, August 26th, 2023, at the TD Music Hall in Toronto, Ontario, the Ravage release party will happen. September 9th of this year, RetroCon in Oaks, PA. That is sold out currently. Well, probably forever at this point. September 19th, 2023, Capitol Ballroom in Victoria. September 21st, 2023, the Biltmore Cabaret in Vancouver, British Columbia. So very, very cool. Cybertronic Spree, check them out. I will have all the links in the show notes for us over at geekcastradio.com. I will also have all those ready for Mike on Mike Cybert Radio. So, yeah, folks, Cybertronic Spree, Ravage. Go check it out. It is awesome.
Woo. Rock. And make good choices and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, make good choices. Don't do anything Megatron would do. Please don't do anything Megatron would do. Like grab a young Autobot and try to frame him.
This is getting expensive.